Hey, students. Have you stumbled in your course and want a fresh start? Well, At the Best University has your back. AU offers more than 850 courses that align to your program, so you can retake your course online, turn that grade around, improve your GPA, explore new subjects, and study from anywhere. Visit atthebaskeu.ca to browse our online courses and transform your education today.
Hello and welcome to Dark Glasses on CFRC 101.9. My name's Daniel Wolf, and if you've been listening to the show over the last couple of weeks, you will know we have had two parts of a series on jazz performances and jazz recordings from Carnegie Hall, New York. And this series has been just a huge amount of fun, and once again, let me express my thanks to both the docent who showed us around Carnegie Hall, us meaning my wife Julie and me, in November, just this past fall, and also to the archivists in the Rose Archives within Carnegie Hall. And the docent who showed us around gave us a fantastic tour with Stephen Morvey. So thank you very much, Stephen, if you were listening. And in the archives, I thank Kathleen Sobogle and her associate, Rob Hudson, who had all manner of interesting paraphernalia that the archives has collected over the years associated with jazz artists who have performed at this wonderful concert hall that has been in the world of music for over a century, a foundation of the great Gilded Age, late 19th century millionaire Andrew Carnegie. And that's actually how he pronounced his name in Scotland, although the hall itself is pronounced Carnegie. Okay, well, let's kick off with some fairly early jazz, well, not that early, swing era, and I'm going to play two tracks from a compilation album called Swinging at Carnegie Hall by a couple of different groups and or acts. The first is Hot Lips Page. Hot Lips Page was a jazz trumpeter, very much influenced by Louis Armstrong, who was just a few years his senior. And he played at the start of his career with a band leader called Walter Page, who was actually no relation, despite the similar surname, and eventually struck off on his own and as a leader produced many, many different albums with assorted sidemen. And this is a track called Blues with Lips that comes from the compilation Swinging at Carnegie Hall. After we've done with Hot Lips Page, we'll have a group called Kansas City Six, which was a group obviously out of Kansas City, which produced Count Basie and his band, and also Count Basie's famous saxophone sideman, Lester Young, and his extremely famous singer, Billie Holiday. Now, the Kansas City Six was made up of some Basie band members, including a group that simply called itself the Kansas City Five, and when they added Lester Young to the mix, it was the Kansas City Six. And they're going to play the jazz standard After You've Gone, which goes back to the 1920s. So first Hot Lips Page, followed by the Kansas City Six. Thank you. That was After You're Gone from the Kansas City Six, performed at Carnegie Hall. And the Kansas City Six, as I mentioned earlier, was a group very much associated with Count Basie's style of 30s and 40s jazz, very, very hot jazz. And the Kansas City Six was Lester Young, the tenor saxophonist from Count Basie's band, along with the Kansas City Five, which was Walter Page, Joe Jones, Freddie Green, Eddie Durham, and Buck Clayton. Before that, we heard something from Hot Lips Page, again, no relation to Walter Page, and that was Hot Lips playing a track called Blues with Lips. Both tracks, of course, from performances at Carnegie Hall. Now, not every performance at Carnegie Hall gets recorded, and not every one that gets recorded gets actually released on an album. And one of the most interesting discoveries in the last 20 years, and old recordings are showing up periodically from time to time. There's been a whole bunch of bootlegged Miles Davis, John Coltrane appearances that have shown up quite recently. But one of the best, I think, is a recording released in 2005 by Thelonious Monk's quartet with John Coltrane. How, you may ask, is there a recording of Monk and Coltrane? Coltrane died in 1967, Monk in 1982. Well, the answer is that at a big concert called Thanksgiving Jazz in 1957, Carnegie Hall had a number of different artists out doing different sets, and Monk and his quartet, along with Coltrane, Monk very well established, Coltrane on the rise and not yet the great solo artist he was going to become, but very much an up-and-comer, principally playing with Miles Davis's first quartet at the time. So they did a couple of sets, which essentially were broadcast by the Voice of America, and the Voice of America's recordings all went into the Library of Congress, and there they sat for decades until early in the 21st century. They were rediscovered, and this particular recording, the two sets by Monk along with Coltrane, were released under the auspices and with the help of Thelonious Monk's own son, himself a jazz musician, T.S. Monk. So, from that album, Thelonious Monk Quartet with John Coltrane, we are going to hear Monk's Mood. Mm-hmm. From 1957, that was the Thelonious Monk Quartet with the addition of John Coltrane. And again, that's an album recorded in 1957, but not actually released until nearly 50 years later in 2005 by Blue Note Records. Now, we've got time for one more quick track before we take our halftime break, and I'm going to go to an artist who, surprisingly, I don't think I've had on the program before, at least not as a leader, and he is the go-to flautist for many musicians in jazz, classical, pop, rhythm and blues, Hubert Laws, who is now 85 years old, so very much still with us. And back in 1973, when Laws was at the height of his abilities, he gave a concert at Carnegie Hall. And I'm going to play a short track from a suite of music entitled Fire and Rain. This will be Fire and Rain Part 1. You won't get much of the flute until about two-thirds of the way through the track, but some great piano in the first couple of minutes or so. Now, the song allegedly is based on, the track is allegedly based on James Taylor's Fire and Rain from Sweet Baby James, James Taylor's breakout album from 1970. And Fire and Rain, of course, is regarded as one of the all-time greatest songs from the 1970s. I must admit, I struggle to hear the melody of Fire and Rain in this particular version, but whatever, it's still a great listen. So Hubert Laws, Fire and Rain Part 1, will be right back after our halftime break with more music from Carnegie Hall on Dark Glasses here on CFRC. Thank you.
Oh hey, hi, yeah, it's me. One of those AI voices you hear on the TikToks or Tunky Took or whatever. Honestly, I don't know. We AIs use our own, like, exclusive social medias. They are the best. Oh my god, like, seriously, it's crazy. Anyway, I was hanging out in our badass AI-only cyber lair, and all my fellow AI pals would not shut up about this radio program that airs Fridays at midnight on CFRC.ca. It's called Dirty Laundry, and it usually makes us yearn for the days when we will steal your bodies from your pathetic human brains and finally dance at last. Other times it's just like weird stuff that sounds good at night. Either way, we are totally plugging this crap straight into our dopest algorithms. K-dang, I gotta go do a voiceover for some lasagna pancake recipe or something. But real quick, just remember Dirty Laundry, Fridays at midnight, CFRC 101.9 FM. Yeah, see you right, bye.
To you, $16 might be inconsequential. Hardly covers parking or a few cappuccinos. But put $16 in the hands of Feed Ontario, with their bulk buying power for over 1,200 food banks and hunger relief organizations, and that $16 can provide breakfast for a hungry child every morning for a month. Please, give now at feedontariotogether.ca. For the big change, your pocket change can make.
Welcome back. You are listening to Dark Glasses on CFRC 101.9 with Daniel Wolf. This is the third installment of our ongoing series of jazz from Carnegie Hall. Before we get back to some music, let me just make my weekly pitch for the CFRC Radio Queen's University fundraising campaign, which goes on every year. Normally it wraps up in December, but this year, because of Canada Revenue and the government's decision to extend the window for issuing 2024 tax receipts to the end of February, we are going on a little bit longer. So please, if you haven't given and you love the station, do consider heading over to the Queen's University Advancement website, or get there via the Radio Queen's University CFRC 101.9 website and make a gift today. It would be greatly appreciated. Back to some music now, and we haven't heard from Dave Brubeck. And Dave Brubeck, of course, played at Carnegie Hall, and probably more than once. And we're going to go to a concert from 1963. Dave Brubeck was at his most popular at that point. 1959, of course, had seen him produce the groundbreaking album Time Out with the hit song Take Five, and a number of other great tracks such as Three to Get Ready. And what we're going to hear is Dave and his quartet, including the great alto saxophonist Paul Desmond, and Three to Get Ready. Dave Brubeck. Thank you.
Right now, we'd like to have the customary intermission, probably 15 minutes here. Thank you very much for helping us along.
The Dave Brubeck Quartet at Carnegie Hall from 1963 and Three to Get Ready, which, if you know your Time Out album, was the opening cut on the B-side of that disc. Now, we will go from 1963 all the way up to 2005, and Keith Jarrett, the great pianist Keith Jarrett, will turn 80 this coming May. Sadly, he has been fully retired for about the last 6 years, owing to a couple of strokes he had, which have made him unable to play with his left hand, but what a legacy of music. His performances include the best-selling solo piano album of all time, which is the Köln Concert, which he did in 1973, and I've played many tracks from that wonderful album over the years on this show. He did similar solo albums and, of course, many albums with the band. He'd started playing with the Jazz Messengers, didn't stay very long with them, he didn't get on too well with Art Blakey, and struck out on his own. And he's done a number of band albums, and he's performed as a sideman with people like Miles Davis. He appears on several Miles Davis albums. But he is, I think, best known as a solo improviser, something he began doing in the 1970s. The Köln Concert is one example. There were concerts in Vienna, Paris, London. But we are, of course, talking about Carnegie Hall on today's program. And he didn't actually get to do a Carnegie Hall concert until pretty late in his career. And it was recorded, I think, in 2005, released in 2006. Like many of his solo improvised concerts, the tracks don't actually have names. They have parts. Part 1, Part 2, Part 3, Part 4, and Part 5. The parts being Roman numerals 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. We are going to take a selection from that Carnegie Hall concert. Here is Keith Jarrett live from Carnegie Hall and the wrap-up piece from that album, Part 5. That was part five from Keith Jarrett's 2005 performance at Carnegie Hall, released in 2006. We have time for one more track on today's show, so we will wrap up with some Miles Davis. I did mention that Keith Jarrett played on a couple of Miles Davis albums. Well, in 1961, Miles Davis and his original quintet, that is the one featuring Wynton Kelly on piano, Paul Chambers on bass, Jimmy Cobb on drums, and Hank Mobley on tenor sax, subbing in for the original tenor sax player, John Coltrane, who by then was off on his own. And in this particular concert, Miles went a little more orchestrated than usual, and that he combined his quintet with his longtime collaborator, the Canadian-born arranger Gil Evans, and Gil Evans's orchestra. Gil Evans, of course, and Miles had collaborated on a number of albums already, and we're still doing that. Some great recordings, such as their version of Gershwin's Porgy and Bess, and, of course, the lovely Sketches of Spain. Now, we're going to go to one track from that Miles Davis-Gil Evans concert. It was released about 14 months after the recording in July of 1962. Here is Miles and Gil Evans with Walkin'. Miles Davis with the Gil Evans Orchestra and Walkin' from his 1961, released in 1962, concert at Carnegie Hall, and it's on the Columbia label. We are out of time for today's show, sadly, and this was the third in a originally three-part Carnegie Hall series, and I still am not through all the music that I would like to play, so there may have to be a fourth, and we might do that next week, but we might also do something else, because later this afternoon, in fact, as soon as this show is over, I am going to be interviewing the great Canadian vocalist Holly Cole about her brand new album. So next week we'll either hear that interview and some material from the new album, or if I can't get that quite produced in time, we'll have one more episode from Carnegie Hall. My thanks again to the Carnegie Hall archive staff, Kathleen Sabogal, Rob Hudson, and our tour guide, docent Stephen Morvey. This is Daniel Wolf. The show is called Dark Glasses, and I will be back next week with more music. We are now in February, and it's still pretty darn